Well, we thank the Lord for to be here with you today. The Lord's given us something to share with you very clearly today, we feel like. So we want to do that and be faithful to Him, to who He is. We're not up here this morning because we know what to do or how to do it. Absolutely not. So before we go any further, we're going to stop and bow our heads and just ask the Lord to be with us here. So if you would pray with me. Dear Lord, you know we're not up here because we know what to do, how to be what we're supposed to be, God. That's all in your hands, dear Lord. It's your Holy Spirit that enables us to share your word, and we're asking that your Holy Spirit would be with us here in this moment as we open up your precious word, dear God, that he would be in full control. And you would have your way, and you would say what you desire to be said, Lord, and you would help us to be able to open up and receive it. In Jesus' name, God, we pray. Amen. You know that song that we sang, Keep the Faith? That's been the burden that God has kind of put on our heart to share with you as we come. Specifically, you know, for us to keep the faith, it takes a strength. It's really beyond us. There's days, as it said, when things, you know, go well, but there are days sad and drear when old Satan lingers near. And we need something. We need him every day, but we're just more keenly aware in some moments in our life of how much we really need the Lord. And I was thinking about some examples here. Let's just turn over and read Psalms 38 here, where David's writing, and he's in one of those rough places in his life. We could read the whole chapter and see that, but let's just read the first few verses here. We'll pick up in the sixth verse. And all right, so pick up in Psalms 38 in the sixth verse here. It says, David writing says, thank you. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble, sore, broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, and my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. And I'm thinking especially as we read all these verses to just get a picture of the struggle that David was facing. And I'm thinking how that we could probably identify with David if we spent any time at all living on this earth. We can identify with him maybe physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We can maybe put some other words in there, but to the degree that we've lived on earth, we probably have been through some places like this in our life where we've felt this way and felt feeble and troubled and bowed down and mourning and no soundness in our flesh and disquietness in our heart and we're groaning before the Lord maybe and our heart panteth and our strength seems like it's failing. And this truly is a place we get in and we go through and we definitely, if we haven't experienced it, we will experience it in our life. And as a Christian this morning, I'm thinking even more as a Christian how that as we endeavor to keep the faith and be faithful to the Lord, we're going to have some places like this that we walk through. And we're going to have some places where we become keenly aware of our frailty, of how we are no longer the strong Christian we maybe felt like we were at moments in our life, but we're really in a struggle and we're in a battle and we're in a place of discouragement maybe where the old Satan's lingering near. He's just hanging right next to us. You know, sometimes we feel like we're kind of leaving Satan in the dust, but sometimes we feel like he just won't let go of our bumper, so to speak, of our car, that he's hanging on tight and he won't let go. And what do we do in those times? Because we become aware so much how that he has a power that is really greater than mine. Satan's power is greater than mine. His strength is greater than mine. If I'm left to face him on my own, then I recognize as I go to do battle with him how frail I am and how he is able to overwhelm me and who I am. So where's the strength that I'm going to find to be able to stand against this enemy of my soul who is relentless? Who does not just sit back because I managed to get away from him a time or two in my life and head on down the road, so to speak? He gets right back in there and he's coming after me the whole time. And I have to stop for gas, so to speak, sometimes, and he catches up, so to speak. You know, just to kind of get in our idea that the way life is spiritually as we walk with him. And so where is the strength that I can find to be able to defeat him? You know, I want to give us some definitions of strength here, but before we do, let's turn over. Job was in a place very similar to what David's writing here, and so let's turn over to Job 23. And we'll... Job 23, and we'll read the 8th verse. We know the story of Job. Most of us do. He's in a place where God allowed Satan to linger near in his life. He allowed Satan to be right there on his bumper, so to speak, and just hammering his car with every force he could, except he couldn't take Job's life. He took his friends. He took his family. He took his wife, even, so to speak. At one point, his wife told him, just curse God and die. Well, that's not helping me. That's not strengthening me. That's not encouraging me to go on. Job was holding on with all his might. And yet, he felt a recognition that he needed something more than what he had. And so he's sitting here and he's talking and he says, behold, I go forward and he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, Job was keeping some faith here. Because he's expressing, look, I can't see him anywhere, but I know he's there somewhere. But I can't see him. I look on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. So Job's in one of these places too in his life, and we know that from his story. And he's looking for his strength to be able to make it through his trial, knowing that Satan is trying to destroy him and knowing that Satan has the power. He's not sitting there trying to battle him. He said, I'm looking for God. I know I need something more than who I am. I need a strength greater than what I have to be able to face this enemy of my soul, this situation that I'm going through, this trial that I'm facing. And so he's looking for a strength that will be sufficient in order to face this battle. And I thought about some of the definitions of strength and what it is. I'm going to read them out to you. I've got about 4 or 5 different definitions here, and there were some more, but pick some that I felt like kind of get the point across of what we're trying to deal with this morning. And so one of the definitions of strength is the property or quality of a body by which it is enabled to move itself or other bodies. So by which it's given the ability to go out and perform an act, accomplish something. Strength is positive, the power of producing positive motion or action, and is opposed to weakness. It's that quality that I realize I need, that I lack as I face these situations that I have to go through. It's the quality to be able to move positively. And we're not talking about an attitude necessarily, although it helps in our life when we realize we have strength to face something, that God has given us strength. But we're talking about the ability to move forward. You know, that's what God's looking for. He's looking to give us something that doesn't just leave us mired in our situation, but it actually moves us forward. This is a definition of strength. It moves us through the situation, not just facing it. It helps us to face it. But in facing it, God's not looking for us just to stand there. He wants to see us move through that situation. They didn't come to the walls of Jericho and just stand before them. They eventually moved through them and into the city and took the city. And that's what God is looking to give us, is a strength where we move through things in our life and forward. Another definition of strength is firmness, solidity, or toughness. The ability to endure. As you're facing these trials, there is a measure of endurance. There has to be a strength to accomplish that in our life, that we don't wilt before them. One of my favorite definitions of strength is the quality of bodies by which they sustain the application of force without breaking or yielding. This, again, is part of what the strength of the Lord will do in our life. It gives us the ability as the forces are applied to us. So, see, strength does not escape us. It doesn't run us away from the situation. It doesn't get us around it. It helps us stand without breaking. How many times has that been part of the battle? That I've stood there, and as I'm attempting to move through, there's a period of time where we're not on the other side. I'm still getting, not just seeing the enemy, so to speak, in my life, but I'm having those forces applied to my life. And there has to be something besides me to keep me from breaking. Well, this is part of what strength is and why we need the Lord. And just as an aside right now, if you just Google the word strength, not Google, I'm sorry, search it in your Bible app or whatever. That's a good way to do it. Or get your concordance and search strength and just look at the list of verses. And we will not even come close to sharing even a tiny bit of them about the Lord and his strength and how he wants to apply it to our lives to accomplish these things. So his ability to stand there without breaking or yielding. Also, another definition said the power of resisting attacks. You know, thank the Lord for that. I want you to keep your place in Job right now, but I want to turn over and read a story in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. And we'll kind of give a little background on this story. If you go back into the previous chapter and all, you'll see this is where Elijah stood on Mount Carmel and he did basically battle with the prophets of Baal. He said, y'all call down your God and try to get fire on this altar. I'll call down mine. And of course, they couldn't do it. And when Elijah stepped up there, the whole altar was consumed and all the water. And so there's been a mighty thing. And then the rain that's been withheld for so long has come in just torrents. And so it says here in the 19th chapter, the first verse, it says, Ahab, King Ahab, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword. And this is speaking of the prophets of Baal. It says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So, great victory, moving it with the Lord, and it seems like Satan's so far in the rearview mirror, and all of a sudden, wham, there he is right in front of my car, and Elijah's faced this situation. And so, as he's facing it, his first instinct was, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Now, it may be that if Elijah could have done differently in this situation, and we would have a different story. But that's not what happened. Elijah saw it, he was afraid, and he ran for his life. All right? And he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And so the real battle, he had fear, but now he's reacted in the wrong way. And I see Elijah sitting here and going, all this that I've had a determination. Maybe he had some experience in his life, and maybe he had some fathers or grandfathers or uncles or something that he had looked at and said, maybe they came to a point in their life and he felt like they failed in some way or something. I don't know what it was that he's sitting here and he's referring to, but he's referring, there was something I was determined to do better than what my fathers had done. And I'm now faced with the fact that I am no better than what they were, and I'm sitting here a failure. And he's facing just complete discouragement in his life because of an action he had taken. So the discouragement wasn't just with the situation. It was because of how he reacted. He was owning some of his own you understand it. What, like Job, God sent this situation on him. In this situation, Elijah reacted in a failure, a way of failure. And he's sitting there facing his own failure, not God's test, so to speak, but his own failure even. And so let's see what happens here. Because the question this morning is one that Job will ask in just a moment. But how is God going to react to this situation? It's one thing when he sends me a test. But how is he going to react when it's my failure? My time that I came to face a situation and it was going so good and all of a sudden I turned and ran. And I am sitting here and realizing what I've done and that it's not what it should have been. It's not where I should be right now. I shouldn't be sitting here in the wilderness considering what I've just run from. I should be out there in the strength of the Lord, but he's not. So he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. Where did this angel come from? Who sent this angel? God did. Okay, so just so we understand that, this angel went off, just had a little pity, heart of pity on the side and said, "Well, I hope God doesn't see this. I'm going to go over here and help this guy." This was God sent this angel to Elijah. This is God's reaction to the situation that is entrenched in Elijah's failure to be faithful in a situation. Here's how God reacted. He lay and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came unto him the second time. Once again, who sent him the second time? Still God reacted to the situation, still reacting to Elijah laying on the ground, and what his decision is to send the angel a second time, and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Oreb, the mount of God. Now that's a good story to read and think about even on from here, but I want us to focus on what God did in this situation. Once again, Elijah's there because of his own failure. God comes to put strength in Elijah, to continue to lead him on down the path in life, to continue to take him to a place where he would get what he needed to get back up and go back to that situation and face it the way it needs to be faced. And that's exactly what he did. But God came and gave him strength to do that. He knew what Elijah needed, and he provided it for him. Let's turn back over there to Job, the 23rd chapter. And it says, if we go back up here to the first verse, it says, "Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." You see, there's a quality here of Job saying, "Look, everything is out here and I'm doing all I can, but there's somebody I need more than everything I can do. I'm going to be faithful, do what I can, but I realize I need God above all things. And where is he? I need to find him." And then he says, "Will he plead against me with his great power?" How is God going to react to me in this situation? To me saying that I need something besides myself. To me openly saying to him that I am not strong enough to handle this situation. You know, as humans, there's this saying that goes around, well, that's just weakness. You should man up. You should be able to face this situation. And you know, it's not that we don't man up, so to speak, and that we don't stand as faithful as we can. It's that we are understanding that there are forces at work here that are greater than who we are, that are greater than our ability. And as we stand, we recognize we're going to stand, we're going to do all we can, we're going to keep the faith, but we're going to have something besides myself. How is God going to react to us coming before him that way? Job said, "Would he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me." This is what Job thinks, all right? And we're going to look in just a minute here and see, okay, is Job just thinking this, or is this really who God is? Now, let me tell you, before we go and look at it, this is who God is. Like I told you, you go and you search your Bible and you look at strength and all the places it says, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord will help me stand. Just throughout the Bible where it's been told us over and over, this is not just an idea that Job has, but this is a truth about the Lord. When we come to Him, whether because of our own failures or just because the situation is too great, whatever the situation may be, or just because we realize, and this is the greatest trick of all, to realize in the good times, God, where are you? I need you today. Yeah, everything's going so good, but we want to stay in this place. I want to continue to be victorious in this life with you. And so, Lord, where are you? Because, Lord, I know what you're, how you're going to react to this. I know how you're going to react to me coming before you and say, Lord, I need something greater than me. You're going to put strength in me. You're going to be my strength for this day. If I'm willing to come and acknowledge that before you, that I need you, that I need you in my life. And so he said, Would he plead against me with his great power? No, he would put strength in me. It says, you know, Job went on there to say, this is that famous passage maybe, and there's even a song written for it. It says, he knows the way I take, and when he's tried me, I will come forth as gold. You know, let's never lose sight of the fact that the things that God allows us to come through in life, He's only allowing them for a singular purpose, and that's to refine us, to bring us forth as gold. And He wants to make us shine brighter and brighter in His kingdom. And if we're willing to acknowledge the need that we have of Him and to come before Him and acknowledge our weakness and that it takes His power to help us not break in this situation, to help us keep moving forward, then God's going to enable us to face whatever it is that we're going through in life and carry us through that victorious. You know, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. There's a thing I hope you got a hold of there. All it takes is being willing to acknowledge we need Him and to be willing to say, that means, Lord, then, that You have control. That doesn't mean You're coming to give me strength to go off and handle this situation the way I need to do it, or I mean to do it. It means if I'm going to take part of Your strength, I'm resigning myself to follow You, to do this the way that You want me to do it. You're not giving me strength to put down, to do things contrary to Your will. You're giving me the strength that Your will and Your righteousness might be fulfilled in my life. So 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And the 7th verse says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, thank God. Thank God that He puts me through trials that will help keep me from getting in some kind of place where my soul might be lost. You see, that's what it's about. He's not just refining me. He's keeping me from being destroyed. He's keeping me away from things that would steal my soul. The psalmist said in one place, he said, before I was afflicted, is that the word he uses there, I believe? I went astray. But because of what He's allowed to come into my life, it has enabled me to stay where I need to be with the Lord. So Paul says here, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I want us to get a hold of this verse. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. But if we have, let's just think about what it means. If we haven't, let's get some understanding here and try to get a hold of this. My grace is sufficient for thee. Okay, there's a statement there that He has the power for us that we need. But then He says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, we really need to get a hold of this word perfect, because we've got a definition that really clouds our minds sometimes of what God is saying here. The word perfect here means complete. If God's strength is made complete in you, you will be able to face whatever you need to face in life and be victorious. But it takes us, like He said in another place, He said, I'm not come for the well. but the sick. I've come for the sick. The well need not a physician, but the sick. Was there anybody on earth who was not sick when Christ came to the earth, spiritually speaking? No. He's not saying, well, some of you are well, some of you are sick. He's saying, are you recognized? Are you over here saying, no, I'm well, I'm fine? Like it talks about in Revelations there, the one church that said, you know, we don't have need of nothing, and don't know that you do have a lot of needs in your life. It's the recognition of our need of the Lord. And so when he says this here, when he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness, we're all weak. It's a matter of recognizing the fact that we don't have what we need to win this battle or to face this situation. And there's two ways it comes. You can be recognizing there's a battle to be won and trying to do it yourself. Or what's happened so much in the world is that, oh, so this is just the best we are. The best we are is that we won't ever really be victorious over these situations. And the righteousness of God can never be really revealed in our lives because we're just weak. Well, he didn't say, he's not trying to get us just to recognize weakness. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you truly recognize your inability and you're willing to listen to God and allow him to come in and do what he needs to do in your life, well, then his strength is made perfect. And you know what God's strength is? It's not weak. It's not unable. It enables. It is able to accomplish whatever is needed to be accomplished in life. There is no weakness in God. And so if I can get in a place before him where I recognize my weakness and I also recognize his power and his ability to do what he needs to do in my life, then his strength can maybe be made perfect. It can be made complete. So then in me, in this situation, I can have the victory I need. It's not some parts kind of knocked out and pieces is kind of there and you're kind of going to make it through. No, it's complete. It has all the strength in every way for this situation for us to be victorious. And so this is what this verse is saying to us. So then Paul goes on and says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, Lord, all of a sudden I'm looking at this in a whole nother situation. Lord, thank you for the valley, as the old song says. Thank you for the valley that I walked through today. Why? Not because if I get a certain number of valleys, then I'm going to make it. But because in the valley, in my weakness, in my recognition of my weakness and my need for you, there is victory. There is an ability for the power of Christ to rest upon me and help me, that his grace then would be sufficient for me to do what I need to do, that the righteousness of Christ might be revealed in my life again in this situation. Again. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when I recognize my weakness, then I can finally be strong because of the Lord who puts strength in me to be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in my life. All right, Philippians 4. You know, it seems like the Lord gave us some very common verses here to go to. There are a lot more, but I know I've got this one and one more, and I think probably everybody, several people could probably quote them. But these are the verses he's given us to look at and think about. So we're going to do that. Philippians 4 and 12. It says, Paul speaking, and this is one of my soapboxes, because we hear this verse used so much, and people use that 13th verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, to as permission to pursue their desires in life. And once again, that is not what God's doing here. There's a recognition of our weakness, but also it has to be a recognition that God's got a purpose that he's trying to do. And that's what we're here for. And that's why he's putting the strength in my life. And so that's what I'm living for. And so let's look at the verse above this, because it makes that clear. Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And whatever the situation is, whether it's good times or bad times, wealthy times or poor times, well times or sick times, in all those situations, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is my strength. He is the ability to go through and get the victory in these situations, in every situation in life. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? There is nobody equal to this Lord, to this God. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. You know, there is... Which part of this universe? We were talking a little bit last night about the universe, weren't we, Darren, Brother Darren and Gellenbeck. Sorry, I know we have two here today. But we were talking about it a little bit last night. And which part of this universe is so expansive that I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that we're never going to get to the end of it, if there is even an end of it. All right? We're never going to get there. They've got all the different telescopes, everything they've used to see how far out there things are, and we still haven't found the end of it. And it's trillions. It's a long ways away. I won't get into all that because I'm not real terribly knowledgeable about it, but I know it's big. All right? Which part of this universe did God not create? Lift up your eyes. It's what he's saying. Who created this? Who created this world that you're going through, that you're facing? You're in a finite part of that whole creation. The focus of his creation. The reason he created it. But still in a finite part of that creation. Which part did he not create? What is it that you're going to face that he doesn't understand and doesn't have the power to accomplish? That somehow he's not aware of or able to carry you through? That somehow Satan's going to be able to sneak something in that God's like, oh, wait a minute, where did that come from? It's not happening. All right? He has the power for us to face every situation in our life and be victorious. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them by all by names and by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. There is not even a shred of weakness in God anywhere. He is all-powerful, almighty in every situation, and able. And it goes on and it says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel? Now, in the New Testament, when we read a verse like this, this is speaking to the children of God. He's speaking to us very directly in this verse right here. Because we are Jacob, we are Israel now today. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart. All right? And that's who we are before the Lord. We are the Lord's in our heart all the way. And so he's speaking to us and he says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? We read about some people who went through some places where they felt like that. And God knows that we face those kind of situations. But he said, why are you saying that? Have you not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Where did this come from? Came from God. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Would the Lord plead against you with his great power this morning? No. He would put strength in you. Lord, help us to be encouraged in whatever situation, whatever phase of life we're moving through, to keep the faith. Keep the faith. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because the Lord is there for you. If you will continue to acknowledge Him, continue to call upon Him in whatever situation you're facing, He will again prove Himself faithful and capable of helping you be victorious and conquering that situation in your life and coming through a victor, coming through. And as you go through your trials, remember, when you come through on the side, it's for the purpose of refining, to purify you, to keep you from the ways that would steal your soul, and to bring you forth as gold. I feel like my words are so empty to get how beautiful that picture is of what God is trying to do in our life. But let me just say this. It's worth it. I remember one of our little boys saying, we've been through several different adoption stories in our time. And that's one of the phases we went through in life. And one of our older boys was there with us through that phase and prayed every night for that. And I actually may have Amber, who did he actually say this about? Yes, okay, I want to make sure I had it right. So anyways, he's been there with us, prayed. We actually have prayed for this child for 7 years. And he actually said at one point, God is not helping us. I'm going to start praying for another one. But he didn't stop praying for that one. He just added another one into the mix, and God brought that one too. But anyways, so he just kept praying and kept praying, and we got there, and we finally, the day come, and we brought her home, and we're sitting there, and we have her, and he's just sitting there looking at her, and I think he was holding her. Were we holding her, and he was just right there, or something like that. He was right there, and he just said her name and said, "You're worth it. You're so worth it. You're so worth it," is all he could say to her. You know, that's what we're going through in life. When we come through these situations, we're not going to get on the other side and say, "Wow, why did I do that?" That's what this come forth as gold means. When we get through on the side, that's not what's going to be in our heart. We're going to say, "Oh, thank you, Lord. It was so worth it to go through that you kept me on this path." And if we have any doubt, if we keep and we're faithful and we get to heaven, like we spoke about the one who wrote the song, Brother Lauren, and I know he's in heaven and he's not regretting that he wrote those words to that song. And he would say they're true. They're absolutely true. So keep the faith, be encouraged, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.